causing him to skid along the road face down, coming to a halt near Gordo's feet. I didn't stop, turning away from them, trusting Gordo to have my back. I ran toward the broken earth, sliding in the dirt as I fell to my knees in front of the humans. They were dazed and unsure. I started with Judith, ripping the gag from her mouth. "You have to help me," I said, cupping her face as the earth continued to crack behind her. "You have to get them out of here. Untie them and take the truck. Go to Green Creek. Don't stop until you're at the garage. You stay there." I let go of her a moment and dug the keys out from my pocket. She started to lose focus, whimpering and looking around with a dazed expression. The others were moving slowly. "Hey," I snapped at her. "Listen to me. Are you listening?" She whispered, "Ox?" I held up two keys in front of her, inches from her face. "This is the key to the truck. This is the key to the garage. Do you understand?"
"I... Ox, their eyes, it's..."
"Judith, your son will die if you don't get him out of here." She recoiled, but the fog in her eyes began to clear. She steeled herself, automatically reaching for the keys and William at the same time. She undid his bindings while I helped the other three. "You follow her," I told them. "She'll keep you safe. You don't stop until you're at the garage, and lock the doors behind you." I hoped the wards would be enough. They had to be. We had no other choice. Judith picked up William, who clung to her, arms around her neck. I pushed the keys into her hands, even as the Omegas began to growl. She turned back to me and said,
"Thank you. Thank you. We'll... Watch out!"
I was slammed into the ground by something heavy that landed atop me, crying out as pain lanced across my back, where four sets of claws dug in. I had a mouthful of dirt as the wolf on my back growled near my ear. The weight suddenly was lifted off me, and the wolf yelped in pain. I was pulled up, hands on either arm. A woman was on my left. Megan? A man on my right. Gerald. I thought his name was Gerald. Another man stood in front of me, breathing heavily, my crowbar in his hands. His name was Adam, and he worked at the hardware store, a kind man with terrible acne scars. He said, "Holy fucking shit." I stumbled forward, grabbing the crowbar from him. "Thank you." He nodded at me, eyes wide. "Ox," Gordo shouted, "you need to get them moving, now. Osman's gone, and I don't know where he is." I spat onto the road, blood and dirt mixed together. "Go," I snapped at them. "Get out of here. Hurry." They didn't wait for me to tell them again. They pushed each other toward the truck, even as there was another low growl from behind me. I turned. Richard Collins was full wolf, snout bloody, nose split. He pushed himself up on four legs, eyes violet, lips curling up around his fangs. He pulled himself to his full height, smaller than Joe and Thomas had ever been, but still a big fucking wolf. "Omega," I said. I wasn't surprised at that. He was too far gone into his wolf to be anything but. He snarled at me. I took a step back, tightening my grip on the crowbar. He coiled down, preparing to jump. Then, a wolf song rolled over us, echoing as loud as it had ever been. It was howled with rage and terror. It was the song of an alpha. "No," I whispered. He'd found us, already. I couldn't let this happen. Joe couldn't be here. Not when there was the chance that Richard would hurt him, would take him away from the pack. A pack needed an alpha to survive, so they wouldn't become Omegas. Thomas had been our alpha, then Joe after Thomas's death, then me, because of necessity. But Joe had come back, and he was the true Bennett Alpha. They needed him. And I had to make sure he survived. I looked back at Richard, who'd been distracted by the call of the Alpha. "Hey," I shouted at him, "I'm right here, you fucking asshole." And then I ran, away from our territory, away from the wards, away from my pack, away from Joe. "Ox!" Gordo cried out behind me. "Don't do this!" There was another song then. It was deep and guttural, more scream than howl. The song of a predator having found his prey. I headed for the bridge, no real destination in mind, just away, away, away. There were piles of writhing earth ahead, where Gordo's magic had called up the rock and the soil to cover the omegas. I jumped over them, omega claws breaking through and trying to grab me. A single claw scraped against my calf, and there was a moment I thought I wouldn't make it. I felt the scrape against my skin, a small flare of pain, but the omega couldn't grab me in time. I landed on the other side of the omegas, glancing over my shoulder in time to see them rise from the earth, teeth bared and eyes violet. Gordo was farther behind them, staring after me, horrified. A large wolf prowled between them, waiting for me to get enough distance away to make it a good hunt. The omegas went for Gordo before he could trap Richard. His tattoos flared to life again as they rushed toward him. The ground under his feet shifted, rocks rising from the earth and spinning around him. He flicked his wrists, and they shot toward the approaching omegas, knocking them back and down. Richard ignored them. He only had eyes for me. I ran because I had people I loved to keep safe. I ran because Richard had shifted his attention from Joe to me, and I would do everything to keep it that way. The bridge was dark. I could hear the wood creaking. Then, the pounding of a wolf's paws against the dirt. He was coming for me. For a moment, I swore there was another wolf running with me, a great wolf, an alpha wolf, a wolf I knew had died years before. For a moment, I swore my mother ran with me, arms pumping, feet stomping upon the earth, hair trailing behind her. I pushed myself harder. I wouldn't be able to outrun Richard forever, but if I could get far enough away, then I'd... I was close to the old bridge. I would cross it and hope it was stable enough. The drop was only 10 feet to a creek below, but I didn't want the whole thing coming down on top of me. I hit the bridge, feet against the wood. It groaned under my weight, the beams above me shuddering with every running step I took. I was at the middle, sure I was going to make it. I didn't know where I'd go next, but I was going to fucking make it through. Osmond dropped down from the shadows on the far side of the bridge, half-shifted, face smeared with blood and dirt. I skidded to a halt, almost falling forward. I caught myself at the last second. A wolf snarled behind me. I glanced over my shoulder. Richard Collins stood at the other end of the bridge. He took a step toward me. "It's over," Osmond said. "You've lost." I nodded. "Looks like..." "You never would have won." I chuckled darkly. "Jesus Christ. Fucking get on with it." Osmond narrowed violet eyes. "What?" "Don't fucking talk at me," I snarled at him. "You want me? Come and fucking get me." Osmond growled. Richard roared. And then they ran toward me. The bridge shifted and groaned. There was a crack of wood from up above. They leapt, just like I knew they would, but flying toward me. I waited until the last possible second, hearing the sound of claws slicing the air before I dropped to my knees. I threw my arm up, crowbar in hand, ends facing toward Richard and Osmond. Their momentum was too great to change directions midair. Richard struck the crowbar first, the pointed end impaling his chest, snapping bone and muscle, even as the silver started to burn. My arm jerked the opposite direction with the force of the impact. The curved end of the crowbar smashed into Osmond's throat. The silver scalded, and the pressure from Richard's impact forced the curve into Osmond's neck, stabbing and tearing through his throat. Blood sprayed out on either side of me, even as their claws cut into my arms and chest, seizing and skittering along me as the pain from getting speared with silver started rolling through them. My arms were drenched in blood, mine and theirs. I couldn't hold the weight of both of them up, and the crowbar slipped from my bloody hands. They fell to the floor of the bridge with a loud crash, arms and legs kicking as they both gagged and flashed their teeth, trying to pull away from the bar lodged in their neck and chest. The bridge shook and creaked. I scrabbled away, kicking out when Osman reached for me, pushing my back up against the wooden wall of the bridge. They were collapsed just out of reach, connected by the crowbar. Both sets of violet eyes were on me. There was pain, but it was distant. I couldn't tell what blood was my own. The bridge groaned again, louder than it had before. The cracking of wood became louder, the struts starting to shake. The whole goddamned thing was going to come down. I almost didn't care. I wanted to close my eyes. Maybe sleep for a little while. There was a low growl. I looked down in front of me. Richard was trying to stretch toward me, but the heavy weight of the crowbar in his chest, attached to Osmond, didn't allow him to move much. He craned his neck, jaws frothing as they snapped near my foot. His teeth were only inches away. I pulled my foot back before kicking out viciously. There was the crunch of bone as he howled and pulled back, shaking his snout. The bridge lurched nauseatingly to the left. It was only inches, but it felt like miles. Dust filtered down from the wood above. I laughed, because I could. I tilted my head back against the wall and laughed. "You'll die here," I told them, as Osman's legs kicked weakly, hands burning as he tried to pull the bar from his throat. "Both of you, you'll fucking die here. You failed. You didn't get Thomas. You didn't get Joe. You didn't get me." Richard began to drag himself toward me, more bloody than not. I had to move. It'd be easier to not, but I'd never taken the easy way out. I pushed myself up the wall, using my legs instead of my shredded arms. Richard snapped his teeth at the movement, struggling to move faster. Osmond was starting to seize, eyes rolling up in the back of his head, mouth open, shifting between human and wolf, hands into claws and then fingers, scraping along the floorboards. His neck was pulled at a sharp angle as Richard continued toward me. I stood above him, above the wolf. He glared up at me, tongue lolling as he bared his teeth near my foot. I said, "You'll never have him. You'll never be an alpha. You lost, and now you'll die. For nothing." The bridge began to break apart, the floorboards splitting, a large crack running up the wall as the wood splintered off. The walls and ceiling began to shift to the left, the bridge about to collapse. And with all that I could, I ran again. Every step hurt, my arms useless at my sides. But I didn't want to die in here. Not with them. Not like this. I had protected my pack from them. Joe would find me. Everything would be all right. I tripped near the end. A floorboard had snapped up, hitting me in the shin. I crashed to the ground, turning to land on my shoulder to avoid hitting my face. A wolf roared behind me as the bridge broke down. A voice whispered in my head. It said, "Get up." It said, "We're almost there, but you need to get up." It said, "Alpha, brother, love, son, pack, get up, get up, get up." It said, "We love you." It said, "We need you." It said, "You're our alpha, and you need to get up." It said, "Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get—" I got up, because I would do anything for them. Everything hurt, but I got up. The bridge was tilting now, the roof coming down around me, so close that I could have reached up and touched the ceiling. I took those remaining steps, and the moment The second my feet touched dirt, the bridge crashed into the creek below in a cloud of dust. There was a loud cry through the bonds, the threads that stretched between us, a call of horror, of no, 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 ox, 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 don't you do this, ox. And I said, hey, Joe, because there was no one else that would have screamed for me like that, no one else who would have sounded so desperate to hear my voice. And the song he howled was a wondrous thing, filled with such green relief that it caused my eyes to burn. It echoed in the trees around me. He was close, so close. I needed to see him, to make sure he was okay, to tell him how sorry I was, that I never wanted to leave him, that I never wanted to be anywhere but by his side. All I ever wanted was to keep him safe. Ever since that first day on the road, when he spoke and moved like a little tornado, all I ever wanted was to make sure nothing ever happened to Joe Bennett. He was coming for me. I tried to focus on the rest of the pack, to make sure they were all right. But Joe was overwhelming. Everything was him. He was all I could hear and see and taste and smell. I stumbled my way down into the creek bed as carefully as I could. The debris from the bridge lay spread out in the water, piles of boards and nails strewn everywhere. I didn't feel them. Richard, Osmond, the Omegas. Not anymore. The poison was gone. My feet hit the water, boots and pant legs soaked. I could hear them now. The pack. Joe. I started to climb up the side of the creek bed. Blood dripped down from my arms into the dirt, but it was okay. It was all right. I was almost home. I reached the top, and there he was, the white wolf with the red eyes, only yards away. There was a familiar shift of bone and muscle, and he stood there, watching me with eyes wide and not a stitch of clothing. He said, "Ox." His voice was hoarse and broken. I thought. So I took a step toward him and said, "No, it's okay. It's okay, I promise you. He's done. It's done. I promise, Joe. I'm sorry. Please don't be mad. Please don't be mad at me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm..." There was an explosion from behind me. I whirled around. The remains of the bridge were blown apart as a half-shifted Richard Collins rose from underneath and landed in front of me, body bloodied and broken, claws extended. One hand landed on my shoulder and pulled me toward him. "Alpha," he snarled in my ear. And then I was impaled by his other hand, claws slicing into the skin of my stomach, punching in until his whole hand was inside me. Joe screamed behind me. I'd never heard him make such a sound before. It broke my heart, even as Richard Collins tore his hand out of me. I coughed, unsure of what had just happened. I looked down. Blood was gushing out of me. Part of me was hanging out, a wet, red, meaty-looking thing. I looked back up. I felt like I was moving in slow motion. I was very tired. Richard took a step back as I fell to my knees. Blood began to pour from my mouth. Richard tilted his head back, popped his neck from side to side. The lacerations on his body started to heal. He opened his eyes. They burned the red of an alpha. For those next long few seconds, he had gotten what he wanted. What he'd started so many years before had finally come to an end. He roared. I felt it down to my very bones. It was a strong sound, a powerful sound. But it was cut off when Joe Bennett placed his hands on either side of his face, claws extended, and then tore Richard Collins' head from his shoulders. Richard sank to his knees, mirroring my own pose. Except I bled from the wound in my stomach. He bled in great bursts from the ragged stump of his neck. It was fuzzy, my everything. I couldn't swallow. I didn't think I could breathe. Joe dropped Richard's head to the ground, and I wanted to ask why he was moving so slowly. He was an alpha, but it was like he was underwater, and I didn't understand why. Richard fell backward. I did the same. Before I hit the ground, arms came underneath me, breaking my fall. I blinked up as I was lowered to the ground. The stars were so very bright above. And the moon. Ah, God, the moon. I wished it was full, because full moons were my favorite kind of moons. Joe's face came and blocked it away. I decided that was okay, because I loved his face more than I could ever love the moon. I tried to tell him as much, especially since he was crying, but I couldn't seem to find the words. But we were underwater. I didn't think I should talk when we were underwater. His lips were moving. He was shouting and crying, but I couldn't make out the words. I could hear him, but it was in my head and chest, and he was saying no, and please, and you can't do this. I won't let you do this. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, ox? You're my ox, and I can never let you go. I will never let you go. I need you. I need you more than anything, because I love you. I love you, ox. Mate, pack, love, home. You are my home, home, home. And without you, I won't ever be okay. There were others, too. I could see them, crowding around along the edges of my vision. They were crying, too, yelling for someone to do something, to fix this. Please fix this. We can't lose him. It can't end like this, not like this. There were so many of them, all their voices running together, saying, why is he bleeding so much? Oh God, he can't die. He can't leave us. Alpha, 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 we need you here. We are your pack. How can you leave us? Ox, 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 ox. Don't go, please don't go. You are my son. You are my brother. You are my friend. You are my love. They said, Alpha, Alpha, Alpha. One voice broke through the rest. He rose above the storm, my little tornado. He said, I won't let it end. He said, not like this. You hear me? Ox, ox, ox. This isn't our end. It'll hurt, and you'll feel it, but you have to fight. Fight. For you, for your pack, and for me. Ox, 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 I need you to fight for me. I had so many things to tell him. So many things I should have said. So many things I'd never gotten to be for him. He needed to know what he meant to me. Everything he'd done for me. I forced my eyes open. I took in a gurgling breath. Blood sprang from my mouth. I choked, but pushed it through. I looked up at him and garbled out, thank you for choosing me. A tear fell down his cheek. He said, no. He said, please. He said, you can't, you can't, you can't. He said, I will always choose you. And then his eyes were so red, I thought he was burning up from the inside. Hair sprouted along the sides of his face, white like the snow. He lowered his head, mouth open, fangs descending from his gums. I'd never seen a more beautiful wolf. I closed my eyes. There was a bright splash of pain between my shoulder and my neck, but it was green, so fucking green, that I couldn't be bothered to take another breath. So I didn't. And as I died, I smiled a bloody smile. Chapter 33, Wolf Song. I opened my eyes. The moon was full and fat overhead. I raised my head. I was in a clearing in the middle of the woods, I knew this place. I knew it because it was mine. It was home. I sat up in this clearing. The grass was warm under my fingers. It felt vibrant. It felt green. I took in a deep breath. I could smell the trees. I could hear the leaves fluttering on their branches. I dug my fingers into the earth. A rabbit moved a half mile away, running through a thicket. I didn't know how I could hear it, but I did. I rose to my feet. Something was coming. I could feel it in the vibrations in the air, the way the forest seemed to bow around it. Whatever it was the king of the woods. From the trees came a howl like I'd never heard before. The song it sang caused my bones to quake. It was love, and hope, and anguish, and every terrible, beautiful thing that had ever happened to me, to mine. I tilted my head back and sang in return. I put everything I had into it, because I didn't know if I was dreaming. I felt pain, but it was an ache in my heart. Our songs intertwined, harmonized, became one. I'd never howled like that before. I hoped one day I could again. There was a tug in the back of my head. It hooked itself in and pulled. I felt my eyes sharpen. My gums itched. My hands shook. The pull became stronger, and I wanted to run. To hunt. To feed. To feel my paws on the earth, tasting the wind on my tongue. I raised my hands in front of my face. As I watched, that pull in the back of my head became sharp, and claws slid out from the tips of my fingers, wicked black hooks that glistened in the light of the moon. The king was closer. I could hear him now, the steps he took, the breaths through his nose. Soon he would appear. I dropped my hands back to my sides. The noises around me died, and all was silent. I said, "Hello." The forest held its breath. A great wolf moved into a clearing. He was white, with black splattered along his chest and back. He was poised, holding himself regally, every step he took deliberate. He was larger than he'd ever been in life. My eyes burned. My throat closed off. That ache in my heart grew larger. It wasn't that I was dreaming. It wasn't that I was awake. It was that I was either dead or almost there. Thomas Bennett stood in front of me, face level with mine. I choked out, "I'm sorry." The wolf huffed and leaned forward, neck on my shoulder, head curling around my back, pulling me close. I fell against him, pushing my face against his chest. He smelled of the forest, of pine and oak, of a summer breeze and a winter wind. I'd never smelled that on him before. Not like this. Not this strong. He let me stay against him, waiting for me to stop trembling. He was warm. I was safe. Eventually, I calmed. I pulled away, the side of his head trailing against my ear. He sat in front of me, tail thumping along the ground. He waited. I looked down at my hands. What could I say to him? What could I possibly say to let him know how sorry I was? How I should have done more to keep his pack together? How I thought I'd done my best? How I only wanted to keep them all safe? How I did what I thought was right? How angry I was that a monster could come and take everything away from me, could steal me from the people I loved the most? How his son was the only person I could ever see myself with. And how, when I'd needed him the most, he'd been there for me. As my friend, as my packmate, as my alpha, as my father. I looked up at him. If a wolf could smile, then I thought it would look like he did right then. I said, "I have a choice, don't I?" He cocked his head at me. I said, "To go with you." He looked back behind him, toward the woods. There was movement there now, in the trees all around us. I could hear the sounds of other wolves, yipping, barking, singing, howling. There were dozens of them, maybe hundreds. They called to me. They sang, "We're here. We're ready when you are. Pack and son and brother and love. We're ready, and we can wait for as long as you need." Thomas turned toward me. I said, "Or I could go back." He huffed again. I said, "My daddy told me I was gonna get shit before he left. Did you know that?" He whined low in his throat. "He told me that. He said I was just a dumb old ox who was gonna get shit all my life. But he was wrong." The wolves in the forest howled. "He was wrong," I said, "because Joe found me and brought me to you. You gave me purpose. You gave me a home, a pack, a family." The wolf's eyes were wet and bright. "You are my father," I said, though my voice broke, "in everything but blood." And I felt it then, the bond, the thread that stretched between us, even in death. It wasn't as strong as it had been, and it probably would never be while I still lived, but it was there. And there was a whisper along it, the quietest of voices. It said, "Take care of them for me, my son." Thomas Bennett leaned forward and pressed his nose to my forehead. And I said, "Oh." I opened my eyes. I was in a darkened room. There was heat on all sides of me. I felt safe and warm. And more. Because there was more. There were soft thumps overlapping in the room. Some were in time with each other. Others were not. But they were all slow and sweet. It took me a moment to figure out what they were. Heartbeats. I could hear hearts beating. Picked them out one by one. There were 10 of them in the room with me. There should have been 11. There should have been 11. There should have been... "Hush," a voice whispered near my ear. A cool hand came to my heated brow and brushed my hair off my forehead. "You'll wake the others." "I wasn't even talking," I muttered weakly. "I know," Elizabeth said. "But you don't have to. Not anymore." I knew what she meant, why she meant it. It didn't seem possible. And I knew the heartbeat that was missing. "Joe?" I asked. "Close your eyes," she said near my ear. "Because things are different now, and you must find a way to hold on to your humanity. Close your eyes, Ox, and listen." I did. I heard many things. I felt even more. There were the heartbeats of my pack, lying around me on the living room floor at the house at the end of the lane. Pillows and blankets had been placed around us, and everyone had curled up against each other, reaching and touching in some way. The wolves curled around the humans. I was at their center. Elizabeth was somewhere near my head. There was an empty space to my right. I heard their breaths, the little sighs they made in their sleep. I smelled them, too, sweat and dirt and blood. But underneath that, it was the forest and the trees. Sunlight filtered through a canopy of leaves, and that smell right before a thunderstorm, ozone sharp and earthy. But there was another smell, a baser smell, embedded into each of them. I recognized it as my own. They all smelled like me, like their alpha. It wasn't just mine, though, because inlaid with my own scent, there was the heavy scent of another. And this one, Oh, this one sunk its claws into me at the base of my neck and the base of my spine, and yanked. I growled, more animal than human. The pack stirred around me, but did not awaken. I heard their heartbeats elevate slightly at the sound that crawled up from my throat. I let it pull me farther. There was the house at the end of the lane. There was the smell of the pack that had sunk into the wood. There were voices, echoes of the past, people gathering on a Sunday, because it was tradition. There was the scent of another alpha, but it didn't rankle. It was built into the rest of the house. Every board, every wall, every tile. He was here, with us, and he always would be. Farther, there were the grounds around the house at the end of the lane, a little tornado demanding that his parents tell him of candy canes and pine cones, of epic and awesome. There was another house, an old house, a house once saddened by the cowardice of a father, a house made whole by the love of wolves, the blood on the floor, hidden from sight, but buried in the bones. She had laughed there. She had popped soap bubbles there. She had sat at a table and told me we'd be all right. She'd showed me that we'd both be all right. There was a line, a connection between these two houses, a thread stronger than I'd ever seen that bound them together. They weren't separated. They were one and the same. They had been for a very long time. Farther. I had to go farther. It pulled. I pushed. Through the grass, through the trees. I heard every bird. I heard every deer. I heard the possums hidden in the brush, the voles underground, the squirrels up the sides of the tree. There was a town in the mountains. There were people who lived in this town. I couldn't feel them, not like I could feel the pack, but I was aware of them, like I was on the outside, barely looking in. There was a sense of them. My pack were bright beacons in the dark. The people of Green Creek were fuzzy stars at the edge of space. But they were there. I pushed. It pulled. The pack shifted around me, heartbeats sinking up one by one, both human and wolves. Elizabeth sighed. There was a clearing in the middle of the woods. It tasted of lightning and magic, of claw and fang. And in the middle of this clearing sat a man who had once been a boy. A boy who I had loved. Then a monster had come to town, with murder on his mind, and tore a hole in our heads and hearts. The boy chased after the monster, with revenge in his blood-red eyes. The monster was gone now, and so was the boy, because a man had taken his place. And this is where it pulled me. This is where I pushed it, because there was a thrum under my skin, the movement of an animal wanting to burst out of me. The people of Green Creek were fuzzy stars. The pack around me were lights in the dark. This boy, this man, was the sun, bright and all-consuming. The animal in me roared to be freed. Elizabeth Bennett whispered, "Go." I went. I was out the door and into the grass when it happened. There was a great ache in my body, a pain I'd never experienced before. My muscles seized as I stepped off the porch and dropped to my hands and knees. I couldn't find a way to draw in a breath. Everything was too loud. The heartbeats, the forest, Green Creek. They were all screaming for me. They were screaming, "Ox, ox, ox," and I opened my mouth to scream back, but the sound that came out was low and guttural, a snarl no human could have made. My bones began to crack and break, the pieces rearranging themselves. Hair began to sprout along my skin, and it was black, like the deepest part of the night, and I couldn't stop it. I couldn't fight it. Claws popped out from underneath my fingernails, the strain of it tremendous. There was a brief moment, a human moment when I realized what was happening. That it shouldn't have been possible. That I had died. Richard's hand in me. My guts spilling out of me. I believed in magic. I believed in the impossible. I believed in werewolves and the call of the moon. I almost didn't believe this was happening. It's a dream. It's a dream. It's a... It wasn't a dream, though, because the pain was extraordinary. It had to be, with the way everything inside me was breaking and shifting. I cried out again, my voice even less human than it had been before. It came out garbled, and there was the thought of, I'm turning. Oh my God, I'm turning. I'm... before it dissolved. The pain faded. I am a wolf. Colors there are. Blacks and whites. Blue. There is blue. I see blue. It's in the moon. It's in the moon. It's green. Everything is green. There are others. Here, I can feel the others. It's pack. It's home. It's mine. It's ours. 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 They're here. In pack house. They're standing there. Standing there and watching. I am alpha. I am their alpha. Eyes. My eyes are alpha. Yes, they are mine. All of them. Oh my God, the woman said. The young woman, the human woman, who I knew because she was mine. Not mine. Both pack, but nothing else because of him. Because of him, because of... He's turned, the wolf mother said. He's turned because he feels him calling. Holy shit, Alpha, one of the human men said. That is a gnarly fucking wolf. Yes, I am wolf. I am gnarly. I'm gnarly wolf. Other human man said. Why is he growling at us like that? Can't you feel it in the bonds? The witch said, laughing. Witch. My witch. My. He's being a smug fucking bastard. He laughed when you called him gnarly. Yes, because I am. Alpha. I am big. And strong. I take care of my pack. They are mine. They are. Mine to protect because I am Alpha. Oh, Jesus, the last human man said. He's going to be insufferable after this. I showed them my teeth. They are not afraid. They laugh because they are not afraid. Good. I don't want them to be afraid of me because they are mine and I am theirs. 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 But where is mine? Where is mine? Where is mine, mine, mine? Sing for him. I need to sing. Loud song so he can hear me in the trees. I sing. The trees, they shake with it, with my song. They shudder and shake. My song is... The trees are mine. The grass is mine. All of this is mine. My territory. Answer me. Sing me home. Sing for me. Sing it. Song, 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 song. In the clearing. I hear it. I hear it. It's for me. It's calling me. He's calling me because he is my pack, my mate, my alpha. I sing for him. I sing back for him. I sing for him to hear. I am coming, mate. I am. I run. Toward the song he sings for me. I run toward the heart that beats for me. I run because he has called me, because he is singing me home. Through the trees, I sing. My song is, I sing. I'm coming. Please don't leave. Please wait for me. Please love me. I am Wolf. I am Alpha. I am yours. You are mine, 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 mine. I see you. Do you see me? Are you angry? Are you scared? Are you mad at me? You smell sad. You smell like me, but sad. Please don't be sad. Why are you sad?
I am here with you, and you don't have to be. Boy, man, wolf, alpha, please.
Ox, he said. Ox, ox.
Why won't you look at me? Why won't you see me? I am here with you, I am. Your skin tastes like salt. Crying. Are you crying? Don't cry. You can't be sad. I don't like it when you're sad. He said.
I thought.
He said.
His hand.
He said.
It was in you, Ox.
He said.
You bastard.
He screamed.
How could you?
He screamed.
How could you leave me?
He is angry at me. Please don't be angry. I am here. I am wolf, alpha, pack, mate. And I can feel it. It's clawing at me. My wolf. It wants to bite and kill. I am so angry now. You are angry. I am angry. You can't stop me. You can't stop this. This is... I am wolf. I am alpha. He said,
No, no, Ox, no, I'm sorry.
He said,
That's not how this is supposed to be.
He said,
I am here. I am here with you, for you, Ox, because you have always done the same to me. You are candy canes and pine cones. You are epic and awesome. You are the only reason why I was able to get through the years I was gone. I cut us off, and I tried to push you out of my mind, but when it was late, when it was dark, I would think of you, of coming home to you, of being with you, being happy, being home. Because, Ox, you're my home. Without you, I am nothing. I am no one. You are my love, my life, my pack, my mate. So I need you to focus. I need you to listen to my heart, to my voice, to my breaths. I am your alpha, and I can't do this without you. So you come back. You come back. You fucking come back to me, Ox.
I listen. His breaths. His voice and words, his heart, and I am Ox, I am Ox, I am shifting, and holy fucking shit.
I gagged as I fell to human knees. There was a hand on my back, the fingers warm against my skin, as I fought back against my churning stomach. The world was too loud around me. Like I could hear every single thing in a 10-mile radius. I was assaulted by the smells of the forest. The shift tried to push its way forward again, my claws digging into the dirt. My gums itched, and I wanted to push for it. I wanted it to come. He said, Ox. I growled at him. The alpha said, Ox. Everything paused. He knelt in front of me. He took my face in his hands and tilted my head up until I could see his eyes. They were red, a burning fire red, and they called to me, even now, even through the storm in my head, the wolf clawing just underneath the surface. He said,
Listen to me.
He said,
You're here.
He said,
With me.
He said,
And I will never leave you.
I said, I don't believe you.
Do you trust me?
Yes, yes, yes. I grimaced as my muscles tightened. I can't.
Ox, he said sharply. Do you trust me?
Yes, I bit out. Yes, yes.
Then I need you to trust me now, he said. I am your alpha, but you're also mine.
Ox, I bit you to save you. You've turned. You're no longer human. You're a wolf, Ox, like me, and Carter and Kelly, Mom, Mark. You're a wolf, okay?
My eyes, I managed to say. What color are my eyes? Because I couldn't help but think they were violet, that I didn't have a pack anymore, because I was never part of the pack to begin with. Joe was the alpha. He'd come home, and he would be in charge, and they'd have no place for me. They wouldn't need...
Red, he said quietly. Your eyes are red.
Fuck, I breathed.
and everything snapped into place. I never thought about control before. I never thought about how much it took to actually be a wolf. Thomas and the others had always made it look so easy. The only time I'd ever seen anything close to a lack of control had been the night Joe had first shifted. Years. It had been years since that night. So I hadn't thought about it much. Now it was all I could think of. I lay in the clearing with my head in Joe's lap, his hand in my hair, both of us unconcerned with my nudity. The grass was cool against my heated skin. I was listening to his heartbeat, taking a breath for 3 beats, letting it out for 5. The wolf in me still gnashed, its hackles raised, but it was calming under the touch of the alpha. We didn't speak for a long time. I didn't know what he was thinking. I didn't understand the smells coming off him. They were bright, these smells. Kinetic. They burned my nose. But underneath them was Joe. It was smoke and earth and rain. It was the smells I always had associated with him, intensified 1,000 times over. I wanted to bury myself in them, roll around in them, until his scent covered me. But the silence ended. It had to. There was too much to say. He said, "Osmond is dead." I grunted, having figured as much. "Gordo killed him. The others in our pack took care of the rest of the Omegas. The humans that were taken made it to the garage. They were safe. We found them huddled together in the back of the garage, underneath one of the lifts. Gordo did something to them. Altered their memories. They weren't hurt by it. They just won't remember. This. The Omegas. Us. You. None of it. They'll heal. They thought that they were in a car accident. It was odd, really. Convenient. Maybe too convenient. I didn't know just how far Gordo's magic ran, or what he'd had to do in the years since he'd been gone, but there'd be time. Later. Now I just needed to hear Joe. To be near him. I tried to find words, any of them, to say something. But all that came out was a garble of sounds, more wolf than man. Joe's hand stilled briefly in my hair, but then resumed, blunt fingernails scratching my scalp. He said, "I should have known that something was wrong." His voice was even. Carefully restrained. "I should have known," he said again. I wanted to ask how he'd found out, but he heard it anyway, somehow. "You closed the bonds, for everyone. I called you. Your phone went to voicemail. I called Gordo. He didn't answer. I went to the shop. The others followed me because they knew, Ox, they knew something was wrong." A slight crack in the tone. Anger spilled through, tinged with something that tasted like pain or sorrow. I didn't know if there was a difference between the two. I pressed my face into his lap, trying to stay calm. "Gordo knew," he said. "He followed you, said something wasn't sitting right, and he knew. I didn't, but he did. He..." My hands were claws. "You foolish man," he whispered. "You stupid, foolish man." I whined at him, begging him not to push me away. Not now. Not ever. "How could you think this would ever be okay?" he choked out. "How could you ever think? I couldn't get to you in time. I couldn't. And then he was there. The monster from my dreams, he was there. And his hand was inside you." He broke off as he began to shudder. I wrapped my arms around his waist, pressing my face into his stomach. "I couldn't stop him in time," Joe said, no longer even and smooth. His heartbeat had skyrocketed. He gripped my hair. He was speaking through fangs. "I couldn't reach you in time. I had to watch you when he did what he did, and all I can remember thinking is how this was a dream. that it was all a dream. But it wasn't, because you told me once that you can't actually feel pain in your dreams, that that's the difference between dreaming and being awake. Ox, I wasn't dreaming, because I felt it. Everything. He tore into you, and he tore into me, and then his head was gone, and you were bleeding. He hunched over me, as if trying to protect me from everything around him. His breath was ragged in my ear. He said, "You fucking bastard! How dare you die in front of me?" It was then I found my voice, because I needed to speak, and because he needed to hear me. I should have said, "I'm sorry," or, "Everything will be okay now," or, "The monster is dead, and I'm here, and I'll never leave you." I didn't say that, though. Any of it. When I spoke, my words were muffled against him. My voice was deeper than it had ever been, like I was trapped somewhere between man and wolf. I said, "I would do it again, if it meant keeping you safe." He inhaled sharply. And it was the truth. I would gladly give up my life if it meant Joe would live another day, or any of them in our pack, because that's what an alpha did. Thomas had taught me that. An alpha put his pack above all else. It was an alpha's job to keep his pack whole, to keep them safe, to keep them alive. Richard Collins might have tried to come after them, even after he'd given me his word, but that was a risk I'd had to take, because it meant they'd be safe. I turned, lying on my back to stare up at him. He looked down at me. A single tear fell, landing on my forehead. "I hate you," he whispered. I nodded, because I knew he did, for this one thing. "You would do the same for me, and for that, I hate you too." He laughed wetly. "God damn you." The angle was rough when he bent over to kiss me. His back was curved as much as it could, and I raised my head slightly to meet him. It was just a graze, a brush of his lips against mine, but it felt like more than any time that had come before. There was desperation in it, and longing, and hurt. So much goddamn hurt. But there was green, too. So much green that shot through it, because we were here. We were both here, and not even a monster could tear us apart. He traced his fingers over the skin of my stomach, where Richard's claws had gutted me. There wasn't a mark. The skin completely healed. There wasn't even any pain. It was like it had happened to someone else. I wondered then if all my scars were gone, the marks that made up the map of my life, if they'd all healed too. The thin line on the back of my neck, where I'd caught it going through a barbed wire fence when I was 6. The small divot from chickenpox on my cheek when I was 9. The mark on my right forearm, from when my daddy had been drunk and had thought it'd be funny to toss a brick at me to catch. That one had gotten me 6 stitches and an apology. I couldn't look. I didn't know how I'd feel to see them gone. I was more myself now. The wolf was pushed back. I thought it was because Joe was near. I could feel all the others, more than I'd ever felt before. 2 days ago they'd been there, but the edges had been blurred. Now they were all crystal clear. They were waiting for us. We'd get there. Soon. Joe said, "I turned you because I couldn't let you go." It was the first time he'd spoken in almost an hour. I sighed. "I know." "Are you angry?" "No. I'm not angry at being a wolf."
"But you're angry."
"No."
"Ox?"
"Not really. I don't know. I can't tell what's my anger and what's yours. It's like, it's going through me and..."
"Feedback loop," he said.
"I don't know what that is."
"It's a circuit, a circle, completed between you and me.
Everything I feel is everything you feel. I nodded slowly. Is it always going to be like this? It's overwhelming?
Yeah.
No, it won't, he said. You're newly turned. Everything is dialed up. Once you get the hang of it, you can control it better. I thought that sounded right, but it didn't help me now.
So we're both angry then.
He snorted, hands pressing harder against my stomach.
Nah, it's just me right now. I'm pissed off.
At me?
Damn fucking right I am.
Oh. Why? I didn't play dumb. I didn't think I'd be able to anymore.
Because if there was a chance he wouldn't hurt you, then I had to take it. And the others. The humans. I couldn't. I couldn't leave them, Joe. I just couldn't.
You should have told me.
Kinda makes the whole heroic thing moot if I tell everyone about it.
The breath he let out then was more of a sob than anything else. But we waited until he was okay again.
You can't do that again, he said finally. If it means, Ox, no more secrets.
I squinted back up at him.
Is that because you can read me now like this?
He snorted.
I could always read you, Ox. We're...
I just could. You're Ox.
You're Joe.
Right, he said. I looked up at the stars.
Do they know?
Who?
Alpha Hughes, the others, back east?
No. I told Robbie to wait.
Until?
You.
Why?
We're a team, Ox. You and I. I can't do this without you.
And you shouldn't have to do this without me.
Not anymore.
I can, I admitted, do this without you. I just don't want to.
He chuckled, and it was a nice sound to hear.
Good. Hey, Joe?
Yeah?
What do I look like?
You look like you.
As a wolf.
You look like you, he repeated. I would have known you anywhere, and I will. The sky was starting to lighten. Birds were beginning to call out. I was overwhelmed by the sheer everything of it. He said,
You're big, Ox. Bigger than I've ever seen before. Bigger than me, than my father.
It makes sense, you know, because that's how you've always been to me. Bigger than anything else. The day I saw you, I knew things would never be the same. You're all-encompassing. You dwarf everything else. When I see you, Ox, all I see is you.
He said, Your eyes are red like mine, but your wolf is black, Ox. Black like the dark. All of you. Not a single variation. Your tail is long, and your paws are big. Your teeth are sharp. But I can still see you in the wolf. I can see you there. In the eyes.
I know you, Ox. I would know you anywhere.
He said, You didn't shift because of the moon, but because you had to. Because your wolf knew it had to find me. So I could prove to you that I could bring you back.
Once upon a time, there was a lonely boy. A broken boy who didn't know if he could shift. And it took one person to show him how. And now I've done it for you. Because that's what we do for each other. That's what pack is. That's what this all means.
He said, You're mine, Ox.
He said, I'm yours.
He said, And I can't wait to show you how I'm made for you, just as much as you were made for me.
I reached and cupped his face. He leaned into my touch. There was never anyone such as him before. From that little boy on the road to the teenager with red eyes. To the hardened man, who stood before me at the house at the end of the lane, and said the same words he'd said to me all those years before. There was never one like him, and he was mine. I pulled him down to me. The kiss was warm and wet. His lips worked over mine, my hands holding him close. And I thought that even though the monster had been brought to an end, this was only the beginning. I didn't think I could let him go. Not anymore. Not again. We weren't fixed. There was a chance we never would be. My daddy had told me once that people were going to give me shit all my life. The monster had told Joe that his family didn't want him anymore. We'd have to live with that. Those things that were whispered in our ears. Maybe we'd never be free of those shadows. Not completely. But we'd still fight like hell. And maybe that's all that mattered. The sun had started to rise when the rest of our pack found us, wolves and humans both. I could hear them coming through the trees the moment they stepped into the forest. I had felt them wake up shortly before that. I knew when they got to us that Rico, Tanner, and Chris would probably shriek at my nakedness, accusing me of trying to use my position as Alpha to make a harem. They would be all wind and bluster, but I would see the relief in their eyes as they saw no gaping wounds in me. Gordo would roll his eyes fondly at them before handing me a pair of sweats. He would lean down and whisper in my ear that I was never allowed to scare him like that again, and I could sure as shit bet we'd have words later over my actions. He would cup the back of my neck, and he'd press our foreheads together, and we would breathe. Jessie would look a little unsure, maybe a little teary-eyed as she watched me. She'd be the first to yell, to tell me how stupid the choices I made were, and just who the fuck did I think I was? Did I have a fucking death wish? Robbie would be a wolf, and he'd rub up against me, trying to get his scent on me, hating the stench of blood that still clung to my skin. He'd tell me later it smelled like death, that I smelled like death, and he couldn't deal with that. He couldn't lose me. I was his alpha, goddammit, and I needed to take better care of myself, because he didn't know what he'd do with himself if I was gone. Carter and Kelly would also be wolves, and they would yip and prance around Joe and me, backsides wiggling as they pressed themselves against us, trying to act aloof, but their eyes would be just a little too wide, the whines in their throats a little too panicked to fool anyone. Eventually, they would collapse on either side of us, curling into their alphas and closing their eyes, finally breathing steadily. Elizabeth and Mark would bring up the rear, both of them in human form. They'd watch the others descend on us, Mark with a secret smile on his face, Elizabeth closing her eyes and letting the sounds of pack, pack, pack wash over her. They'd join us after the others had started to settle down, Elizabeth next to her sons, and Mark sitting next to Gordo, both of them avoiding each other's gazes, but their hands in the grass next to each other, pinkies touching. And there would be a sense of right, of being complete. Finally, finally, finally. We had lived. We had loved. We had lost. Oh God, had we lost. But we would be here now, together. And maybe this wasn't over. Maybe there were still other things to come. Robert Livingstone, Alpha Hughes, all the monsters still out there in the world. That was fine. That was okay. Because we were the goddamn Bennett Pack, and our song would always be heard. Epilogue. He said, "You ready?" He towered above me, a look of such reverence on his face. My skin was sweat-slicked, heated. I felt flushed and overwarm. I almost couldn't find the words, but I managed to say, "Yeah, yeah, Joe." He leaned down to kiss me as he pressed slowly in. I gasped as he fucked into me, and he swallowed it down, tongue against mine. My dick was trapped between us, dragging against his stomach. He sank down as far as he could go, his hips pressed against my ass, my legs up over his shoulders. We breathed each other in, eyes open, noses brushing together. He said, "Oh, fuck," against me as his hips stuttered. And he waited, holding himself in place, like he couldn't move, like he didn't want to move. I said, "It's okay, Joe. Please. It's okay, and I need... Oh, God, I fucking need..." He said, "Yeah, Ox, I'll give you what you need. I'll fuck you, okay? Just let me fuck you, and..." And he pulled away, then pushed back in. The bed creaked below us, and he did it again and again, and we were both snarling at each other, my claws digging into his back, not caring if they pierced flesh. He rolled his hips into me as he sat up, pushing my legs back against my chest until I was almost folded in half, just so he could look down and see his dick in me. He slowed, eyes wide, as he watched me come apart beneath him. We'd been at this for hours, and I was too worked up to make this last much longer. For all his inexperience, he was a fast learner, doing things to me that caused my eyes to roll back into my head and my mouth to go slack. But this wasn't about fucking or just getting off. This was about more, so much more. I could feel it building in the base of my spine. I didn't try and stop the shift as it rolled through me. Joe was the same above me, half shifted and crying out as I clenched around him. He said, "Ox, it's almost time." I said, "Yes, okay, yes, please, yes." Because we'd been building to this moment. Ever since the day he'd handed me a box that held a little stone wolf inside and promised himself to me. I snarled, "Do it." His eyes flashed red. His fangs descended. I came messily between us, tilting my head back, exposing my throat. He whispered my name, said my name, shouted my name as he came in me. And then he bit, right in the space between my neck and shoulder. There was pain, bright and glassy. Then it faded, replaced with something different, something so much larger. My eyes snapped open as I gasped, because it was more than I ever thought it could be. It was everything. His teeth slipped from my skin. I could feel the blood oozing. He was panting as he pulled back, lips as red as his eyes. He said, "Oh my God." He said, "Ox." He said, "Ox, can you feel it? I can't believe we... After all this time, we..." He said, "Ox." He said, "Mate." The wolf snarled, "Mine." This has been Wolf Song, written by T.J. Klune, narrated by Kurt Graves. Copyright 2016 by T.J. Klune. Production copyright 2016 by Dream Spinner Press.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.